And Buster has quite a story to tell. And perhaps, Buster, you could start out by explaining that you were actually out there in 1941.
Yes, I was. I was aboard the battleship USS California.
And you were there when the bombing took place.
I was there that morning. I was due to go on watch at 8 o'clock. And like all sailors, you had to have that last cigarette so you wouldn't get to smoke for 4 hours. So I helped set up for church services aboard our ship, because every other Sunday there was onto a different ship where they had a Catholic Mass. And we never even got that job done.
What do you remember about the day?
Well, after the bombing started, we all thought it was just another run, because we had a lot of drills in peacetime. So I was in the Navy a year before the war started. And at that time, the Navy enlistments was 6 years. So I went in there, and my battle station was on the, in the powder room, three decks below the top deck. And my work was in the magazine for the 14-inch guns. Of course, you couldn't use 14-inch guns in the harbor, but you still have to go to your battle station when they have general quarters. And that's where I was. And when you get into your magazine where the powder is stored, you lock yourself in. And there ain't no way of getting out until you undog it and get back out. All compartments are that way. And we was down there. Of course, it was pretty warm because they shut off the air. And they used to call that condition Z. And you just sit and wait. And we also had three scouting planes on our ship. And when the boatswain mate piped over the PA system that this was a real McCoy, we couldn't hear much down there. And so we was called up to take and help throw a plane over the side that was afire. Seeing that we couldn't fire any guns, we were available, so we went up on topside, pushed this plane over the side, and we had to go back down to our battle station, and we wasn't down there very long, and we got called back up again. Another one was on fire, so we threw that one over the side, and them scouting planes, they don't sink very fast, so they had an officer up there shooting holes in to make it go down. And then we went back down to our battle station again, and our skipper board there, we used to call him the old man, he had one plane up there, and it was on the catapult, and we used to call his plane the Blue Goose. I don't know why I ever got that name, but that one got hit by strafing, and it was on a fire, but it was, they couldn't fire it off because the electricity had gone out of the catapult, so they had it part way, and that was it. So that one had to be thrown over the side too. Well, I went back down to our battle station, and like I said, we couldn't do much down there, and then they abandoned the ship. By the time we got to the topside, they delayed that, so we go back down to your battle station again, and down there a little while, then they abandoned the ship again. So we came up, and that was delayed back down again. Finally, the third time they abandoned the ship, they said this was it to go ahead, so we did. Well, I swim like a rock. And I jumped over the side with a light jacket on. And at that time, all I had on for clothes was a pair of socks and a pair of jockey shorts. Mm. And the socks was new, and they didn't drain water too good. And yeah, I couldn't get my feet to come to the top, so I got them off. And I swam toward Fort Island, which was a quarter of a mile. But every time I get it going good, a motor launch would go by, and the weight of the launch would take me right back to where I started again. Well, I did that twice, and the third time I made it, but I was completely out of wind. When I hit the beach, like I said, all I had on was that life jacket and a pair of shorts, and I dumped the life jacket, and I run to a hangar right along that beach. There was a lot of rock, broken glass and stuff. I did cut the bottom of my feet. And I run to a hangar, and I got in there, and I thought, well, that's a poor place to be going, because you sure as hell can get killed in there. So I took off and went underneath a tree and stood there and shivering because I was scared and cold. And I wanted a drink, and I wanted a cigarette, and I wanted all kinds of things which I couldn't get. And so after standing there a while, the air raid got over with. Now it started back toward the ship. Of course, we couldn't get aboard. And the Marines, they had a barracks on Fort Island, and they just opened up their barracks doors and lockers and told us to go ahead and get some clothes because a lot of us didn't have any on except them shorts. And so that's what we did. Well, then we did have breakfast that morning. And the next morning for breakfast, they had temporary galleys set up. And about all you could get was a dish of oatmeal. Well, the oatmeal was good, but you didn't have a spoon or a fork or a knife to eat it with. You had to eat it with your fingers. Mm-hmm. And then for at noon, it was the same thing, temporary galleys. So you had to take and go to three different galleys in order to get enough to eat to satisfy you. Well, then I, with a bunch of boys, Fort Island was bombed. So we took and set up machine guns and bomb holes. And we manned machine guns there for 2 weeks. Well, that night, somebody must have set up a machine gun and wanted to try it out to see if it worked. And when he let off with a few bullets, boy, I think everything on the island opened up. He looked out the hangar there, or out, looked out of your holder, and all he could see was tracer bullets going all directions. Well, that kind of quieted down. But there had been Army planes were supposed to come in from the States to Hawaii. And I guess at the time when it was reported that they heard planes, that these, they just figured it was our own Army planes from the States, which it wasn't. It was the Japanese planes. And of course, this was verified by a soldier that was on duty and told about the planes coming, and they just took it for granted that it was our own. But he said they was coming from the wrong direction. Well, they were supposed to be going off at duty at 7. This was after 7, and the sergeant that was with them says, well, forget it, we're off duty. But he wouldn't give up. And I guess he reported to an Army lieutenant, and he kind of ignored it, too. So that kind of took care of that. Well, I stayed on the island for 2 weeks, manning the gun, until other ships came in. Well, you didn't see any smile on them boys when they came in. And then we was assigned to different ships. And I was assigned to a heavy cruiser, the Astoria. A few of our boys from the California went on there. And the first night aboard there, I got my nice little scare. There was supposed to have been a submarine in the harbor, a little two-man sub. Didn't get much sleep that night. Anyway, I got assigned duty on the Astoria, and we left out of there within a couple of days. And then I went out to Battle of Midway. From there, I went to Truk Island. From Truk Island, we went to the Coral Sea Battle. We was out there 104 days. Food rationing was on then because you couldn't get in to get any stores, and you got a piece of meat you could read a newspaper through. Coffee was so washed out from using the grounds over and over, it looked like plain water. And you got one slice of bread. That was your meal. And from the Coral Sea Battle, we went into an island of Noumea in provision ship and took on oil. And that was an all-day and all-night job. And from there, then, we headed out toward Guadalcanal. And we got into Guadalcanal, and we bombarded Guadalcanal from 2:30 in the morning till 5. And this Astoria, its big ships were 8-inch guns. And they had fired so rapid that the lining was coming out of the gun. Of course, all us guys was happy because then we get to go to Australia. Mm-hmm. Well, instead of going to Australia, we went down. We got sunk there. Well, I got carried off the ship, put on a destroyer. From the destroyer, I was put on a transport. From the transport, went back to Noumea or New Caledonia, and that's where our hospital ship was. Well, then I got on the hospital ship, and we went to the Navy Hospital in Auckland, New Zealand. Well, I was in the hospital 3 months, got transferred from Auckland down to Wellington. I stayed there 1 month, then went back to Auckland. And altogether, I did 2 years' duty in New Zealand. Well, I didn't get any leave, so when I get back to the States in November of 44, I got a 30-day leave. I came home. I only stayed home 2 weeks because they didn't talk my language. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. So then I went back out to the West Coast and went to commissary school because I was a cook. Then I was put into different bases. And when they had the atomic bomb test out in Bikini, I went from the States to Hawaii, from Hawaii to Kwajalein, and then I caught my ship there, and I was on the LCT, and I spent 7 months out there in Bikini when they had atomic bomb test. And we had a lot of dummy runs before they ever set it off, and then we were, when the bomb did drop, we had to cover our eyes until it exploded. Then we got to look, and we got to see the mushroom cloud. So everything was hot but radioactive, so we was towed to an island called Rondolap. Three of us LCTs was towed there by a tug. Of course, somebody's supposed to be on watch on each LCT, and one of them broke away that night. We traveled all night, and before that, go back and go find him. We found him and then took him under tow and went to Rondolap, and we stayed there 2 weeks, and we went back to Bikini, and then we had different odd jobs to do there, pick up anchor chain and stuff like that. And as I understand it now, I hear that that island is still hot from the atomic bomb. Mm-hmm. So,
now, is it true that you were reported to be dead at one time?
Oh, yeah. I was when in Pearl, somehow or another, the list of the guys that survived was sent home to the folks as dead, and vice versa. Well, my folks, it was 2 weeks before they ever got notice. I did send a card home the next day, but the mail wasn't too good at getting delivered, and all you could write out, they had a card and all thing you put on, you could scratch everything else out, just leave on I am well. If you had a leg blown off, you still was well. Mm-hmm. And it took 2 weeks for that card to get home, so they had a funeral mass for me in Easton. I was staying with my brother-in-law at the time, and then they had another one over in Minnesota Lake. And the priest at that time when it was in Easton was Father Kresbach. Well, when I got out of service and went farming over by New Richland, lo and behold, who's the priest over in New Richland? Father Kresbach. And they had to do a little work in church, and Father says to me, he says, I thought I buried you once. I said, you did, but you did a poor job of it. That's what I told him. So, this is 49 years now, and if all goes well, I hope to take in the 50th year celebration over there in Hawaii and then go on to New Zealand, because I have a son living in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And I have been there four or five times already. The last time was in 1982. Of course, the kids came here in 1980, and they was here again in 1988. So if all goes well and I'm still around, I plan to go over there and take in the Pearl Harbor deal, and because I belong to Pearl Harbor Survivors Association. Mm-hmm. And I belong to the USS California reunion, which I never went to any of them because I was always in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. And when I was farming, I couldn't very well go to them because it was the wrong time of the year. So that's about it.
Mm-hmm. How many people ended up dying on your ship there?
Well, it's really hard to say. I had heard around 300. But I heard a guy on the radio this morning on WCCO that was on the Arizona, and he said that there was 1,100 that never made it from off there. Mm-hmm. When I was on to California, I had a brother-in-law that was on there with me, or the same time I was. He went in the Navy when he was 17, was supposed to get out when he was 21. They call that a Minardi cruise. Mm-hmm. Well, the war came along, and he stayed in just as long as I did. Mm-hmm. And my enlistment was 6 years. So, Don got out. I didn't get to see Don until I came back to States to get my discharge at Treasure Island. And as I was walking out of the building, I wasn't looking where I was going or stepping over benches, you know, and I run right into him. Mm-hmm. And he had just come off from Reef. Mm-hmm. But I was back in Easton 2 months. I was still in the Navy, but I was on 2 months leave. So I got discharged. I was in Navy 5 years, 11 months, and 25 days. Of course, my list was 6 years anyway.
Mm-hmm. When you think of Pearl Harbor, when you think of this day, what's going to be etched in your mind forever?
It will, because I can see all this stuff yet today. Mm-hmm. I can see the bodies of an arm or a leg or a head floating around in that oil. And when the Arizona got hit, they did hit below the water line, and this made a lot of their oil come out. And it was all a fire back there, and it was creeping up toward our way. See, there was a Maryland, and there was the Pennsylvania and the West Virginia that was tied ahead of the Arizona, and then there was a gap where the ferry went from the main island to Fort Island, and we was tied ahead of that. And this fire was coming up that way, and the boys that were on Fort Island, attached to the Navy, was called Airedales, because they took care of airplanes and stuff. And one of them had a speedboat, and he got that, and he cut it. He cut the oil, and it split it. So, but the little bit that went our way didn't cause any trouble, and the other went the other direction, which was a good thing. Mm-hmm. And then there was the battleship Nevada. Had a brother-in-law on that, but at the time he wasn't on there. And it tried to get out. Of course, you don't take and drive them out like you do an automobile. They got to be put in by a tug and take out the same way. Well, it tried to make it out and had to back up to make the turn. And it backed up into the bank, and it got stuck in where it sat and took its pounding too. Hmm. It got bombed. But we got four torpedoes in California, and I would say you could drive a freight train through it. Hmm. And we got 8 bombs. And the Tennessee and the Maryland were tied side by side, but the Maryland on the outside got torpedoed, which didn't affect the Tennessee on the inside, but she got bombed too in the same way, the two behind them. But the Arizona is the one that really got the worst. And out of the 9 battleships that were in there at the time, there's 2 that still left there, and one is the Arizona, where the monument is on, and the other one is the battleship Utah. And we used to use that as a target ship. We'd tow it. One ship would tow it, and the rest of us would fire at it. And it only had a skeleton crew on. And of course, when it got back into port, the crew was taken off. Well, that one was capsized right by the dock, so they just built a dock right over the top of it. It was an old battleship anyway.
Well, this is the talking I gave on December 7th to the Otana radio station. They wanted to find somebody who had been in Pearl on December 7th, and they had asked us over the radio. Of course, we very seldom ever listened to Otana station, but Maria had heard it, so she called in and said she knew.